idea. The university's gates had burst open, and now the angry mob was in the grounds and hammering on the walls. Above the din, the wizard searched feverishly through the books.
"Well, have you got something like Maxwell's impressive separator?" said Ridcully.
"What's that do?"
said Arch-Chancellor Rincewind.
"Unmixes two things, like sugar and sand, for example. Uses Nanny's demons."
"Nano-demons, possibly," murmured Ponder wearily.
"Oh, like Bonza Charlie's Butte Sieve. Yeah, we got that."
Parallel evolution. Fine. Dig it out, man."
Arch-Chancellor Rincewind nodded at one of the wizards and then broke into a grin.
"Are you thinking about it working on salt?" he said.
"Exactly. One spell, one bucket of seawater, no more problem."
That's not exactly true," said Ponder Stibbons.
"Sounds perfect to me, man."
"It takes a great deal of magic, sir, and the demons take about a fortnight per pint, sir."
"Ah, a significant point, Mr. Stibbons."
"Yes, sir."
"However, just because it wouldn't work does not mean it was a bad idea. I wish they'd stop that shouting."
The shouting outside stopped.
"Perhaps they heard you, sir," said Ponder.
"Bang, bang, bang."
"Are they throwing stuff onto the roof?"
said Arch-Chancellor Rincewind.
"No, that's probably just rain," said Ridcully. "Now, I suppose you've tried evaporating..."
He realised that no one was listening. Everyone was looking up. Now the individual thuds had merged into a steady hammering, and from outside came the sound of wild cheering. The wizards struggled in the doorway and finally fought their way outside, where water was pouring off the roof in a solid sheet and cutting a channel in the lawn. Arch-Chancellor Rincewind stopped abruptly and reached out to the water like a man not sure if the stove is hot.
"Out of the sky?" he said.
He pushed his way out through the liquid curtain. Then he took off his hat and held it upside down to catch the rain. The crowd had filled the university grounds and spilled out into the surrounding streets. Every face was turned upwards.
"And those dark things?"
Arch-Chancellor Rincewind called out.
"They are the clouds, Arch-Chancellor.
There's a hell of a lot of them."
There were. They piled up over the tower in an enormous, spreading, black thunderhead. A couple of people looked down long enough to see the group of soaked wizards, and there were some cheers, and suddenly they were the new centre of attention, and being picked up and carried shoulder high.
"They think we did it,"
shouted Arch-Chancellor Rincewind as he was borne aloft.
"Who's to say we didn't?"
shouted Ridcully, tapping the side of his nose conspiratorially.
Someone
began. Ridcully didn't even look round.
"Shut up, Mr. Stibbons," he said.
"Shutting up, sir."
"Can you hear that thunder?" said Ridcully as a rumble rolled across the city. "We'd better take cover."
The clouds above the tower were rising like water against a dam. Ponder said afterwards the fact that the BU tower was very short and extremely tall at the same time might have been the problem, since the storm was trying to go around it, over it, and through it, all at the same time. From the ground, the clouds seemed to open up slowly, leaving a glowing, spreading chimney filled with the blue haze of electrical discharges, and pounced. One solid blue bolt hit the tower at every height all at once, which is technically impossible. Pieces of wood and corrugated iron roared into the air and rained down across the city. Then there was just a sizzling and the rushing of rain. The crowd stood up again cautiously, but the fireworks were over.
"That's what we call lightning," said Ridcully.
Arch-Chancellor Rincewind got up and tried to brush mud off his robe, then found out why you cannot do this.
"It's not usually as big as that, though," Ridcully went on.
"Oh, good."
There was a clank from the steaming debris where the tower had stood, and a sheet of metal was pushed aside. Slowly, with much mutual aid and many false starts, two blackened figures emerged. One of them was still wearing a hat, which was on fire, although the rain was putting out the flames. Leaning against one another, weaving from side to side, they approached the wizards. One of them said,
"Ook,"
very quietly, and fell backwards. The other one looked blearily at the two arch-chancellors and saluted. This caused a spark to leap from its fingers and burn its ear.
Rincewind, it said. "And what have you been up to while we've been doing all this hard work, pray?"
said Ridcully. Rincewind looked around very slowly. Occasional little blue streaks crackled in his beard.
"Well, That all seemed to go pretty well, really, all things considered, he said, and fell full length into a puddle. It rained. And after that, it rained. Then it rained some more. The clouds were stacked like impatient charter flights over the coast, low on fuel, jockeying for position, and raining. Above all, raining. Flood water roared down the rocks and scoured out the ancient muddy waterholes. A species of tiny shrimps, whose world for thousands of years had been one small hole under a stone, were picked up and carried wholesale into a lake that was spreading faster than a man could run. There had been fewer than 1,000 of them. There were a lot more next day. Even if the shrimps had been able to count how many, they were far too busy to bother. In the new estuaries, rich in sudden silt and unexpected food, a few fish began the experiment of a salt-free diet. The mangroves started their stop-motion conquests of the new mudbanks. It went on raining, then it rained some more. After that, it rained. It was some days later. The ship rose and fell gently by the dock. The water around it was red with suspended silt, in which a few leaves and twigs floated.
"A week or two to No Thing Fjord, and we're practically home," said Ridcully.
"Practically on the same continent, anyway," said the Dean.
"Quite an interesting long vacation, really," said the lecturer in recent runes.
"Probably the longest ever," said Ponder. "Did Mrs. Whitlow like her stateroom?"
"I, for one, will quite enjoy bunking down in the hold," said the senior wrangler loyally.